Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are off and running in the Fall Classic. Wow. I just wish I knew whether or not every single one of these games was going to require a four-hour investment. It appears as though pitcher's duel may be a far-fetched notion, but I'm still hoping. A girl can dream, can't she? But that was not the case in the opener of the World Series in Houston, Minute Maid Park, on Tuesday night. Exciting to get the atmosphere, the nerves, the jitters, certainly to get these two incredible starting pitchers on the mound to begin what is always one of my favorite playoff series of the entire year. And right away, the visitors, the upstart Nationals, who've now won 17 of their last 19 games, have stolen away the home field advantage. We had a caller last night who asked about the Nationals and being able to play games at home and potentially turn that into an advantage. And certainly with the fans and the raucous atmosphere we've seen at Nationals Park, you would expect that the fans will bring it, a little bit like the orange-clad Astros fans did. But always the goal, no matter what a series, what sport, whether it's five or seven games, always the goal is to win at least one of the games in the other team's ballpark. And specifically when you are the team that doesn't have home field advantage, if you can go out and grab that away in the first game, well, then you flip the script. And the Nationals did just that. And they did it going through the best pitcher of the 2019 season. Gerrit Cole just lost his first game since May 22nd. I mean, let that sink in for a second. That is really the only nerd alert that you need for this World Series Game 1. Gerrit Cole, who had a lead, didn't hold it. Couldn't hold it against the Nationals' aggressive at bats. He did pitch through the seventh, so he was on the field, on the mound, longer than Max Scherzer. But he could not hold that Nationals lineup at bay. Specifically, the almost 21-year-old Juan Soto. I didn't realize that Soto's birthday is Friday. He'll be 21. But for now, he's still 20 years old and making history. I love history. It's one of my favorite things about sports and about working in the sports industry is that generally you don't see a week go by without some type of history. And as a history buff, that's cool with me. You know what else is cool with me? The Hump Show. It's our middle show of the work week. Oof, it's always a feat to get over this hump during football season. Tuesday, my writing day. Though, believe it or not, the editor for my columns had a fire in his backyard, and so apparently has no Wi-Fi. So I have to just take my word for it that the column is done, but it won't be on the website until Wednesday morning. But I'll post the link as soon as it is. We are inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What did you think of the first game of the World Series? I know Nationals fans are excited again. This is best case scenario. You take a game from the vaunted Astros. You put them on their heels. You beat their best pitcher. And you steal away the home field advantage. Check. The Nationals have done that. They also did it despite the fact that their bullpen had to toss four innings. So we'll get to all the ins and outs, all the details, the nuances, the moments that could have gone either way. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can use our Facebook page, which is named after the show. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You could tell early on that both these pitchers were going to have to grind. But right away, Gerrit Cole has to erase a runner in scoring position to start the game. So a pair of strikeouts gets him out of any trouble. And then it's Max Scherzer's turn. The Astros respond. They get a pair of hits off Scherzer to start the bottom of the first inning. I should have known right then it was not going to be a pitcher's duel, but I was still hoping these two pitchers would settle into a groove. We actually saw this the last time that Gerrit Cole was on the mound, and that was against the Yankees in the ALCS, where he stranded the bases loaded in the first inning, if I remember correctly. And then as the game wore on, in fact, it might have been exactly a week ago, as the game wore on, he got stronger and he settled into a groove. So I was still hopeful at this point. A lot of the damage that the Astros have done in this postseason has come with two outs. And that's what we saw in the bottom of the first. A two-out, one-and-two count. And Yuli Gurriel powers a double off the center field wall, drives in a pair of runs, and just like that, the Astros are ahead 2-0 after the first inning. But it wasn't going to stay that way for long because you've got some hitters in this Nationals lineup that despite the fact that they've been off a week, they were aggressive. And they were forcing the issue against Gerrit Cole.
Here's the wind of the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well. Deep center field. Way back goes Springer to the warning track. Looking up and it is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes the Z-Man to the deepest part of Minute Maid Park. Just to the left of the batter's eye in center field. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball, well hit to left field. Way back goes this one. It's got a chance. It's going, and long gone up onto the railroad tracks. Welcome to the World Series, Juan Soto. Nationals tie the game at 2 as Juan Soto goes opposite field for a tape measure home run.
Well, that would be a theme. Juan Soto at the dish doing damage. You hear Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the Washington Nationals radio network. So the visitors rally and they tie the game on a pair of solo shots by their original charter member, Ryan Zimmerman, and then their youngest superstar, Juan Soto. And we've talked about this before, the Nationals having a really good mix of veterans, guys in their mid-30s and older, guys who have playoff experience, World Series experience like Matt Scherzer, but also guys like Ryan Zimmerman, who has been through the ringer, who has navigated injuries and incredible disappointment for this franchise, to finally be in a place where he could step in that batter's box and taste World Series success.
Yeah, first at bat to a home run, I mean, runner on the bases, you're kind of almost floating around the bases. To be able to do that, it's kind of what you work for.
No doubt. Meanwhile, Juan Soto, the fourth youngest to ever homer in a World Series. And as I say, he doesn't turn 21 until Friday. So we'll see how the Nationals celebrate his birthday when they host that game 3 at their own park. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope it wasn't lost on you that in the fifth inning, the Nationals played small ball. They were able to take the lead, score 3 more runs off Gerrit Cole on 3 hits, none of which was a home run. So they get a walk, they get a hit. Adam Eaton has an RBI single. A ground out moves the runners up. And then once again, here comes Juan Soto with a double off the left field wall, and that plates 2 more. So they do it without going deep, without the, I mean, Soto's hit was gaudy for sure. It banged off the wall. But they do it without going deep, without some flashy display, without what we've come to expect from 2019 baseball, which is either strikeout or home run. So they take a 5-2 lead, and finally, Max Scherzer is able to record his first perfect inning of the game. So he's done after five, but throws 112 pitches. Two runs on five hits. He does have a few walks in there, three of them, and then seven strikeouts. And the word grinding kept coming up a lot with Max.
I got to tip my hat to him. I mean, they grinded me apart. You know, for me, I never felt like I was able to get into the rhythm. You know, first batter game is a walk, and now Altuve hits a single, and it's first and second, nobody out. And just having to absolutely grind through the lineup over and over and just continue to have to make big pitches and just find a way to get out of these innings when there's runners on base.
He did look exhausted when he walked off the hill after the fifth inning. Meanwhile, Gerrit Cole pitched through the seventh. When he finally recorded a 1-2-3, he was done after the seventh, allowing five runs on eight hits and six strikeouts. And then it was up to the Astros offense. And what does that usually mean? That usually means George Springer, who has got a flair for the dramatic on the World Series stage.
Here's the 2-1. This one's blasted left center. That ball's got a chance. If it's high enough, it is! A home run for Springer! And now it's Nationals 5, Astros 3.
2-1. And Springer drives it pretty deep to right center field. Going back on it is Eaton at the wall. He leaps, and that ball is off the wall. Tucker races to third base. He's around third, and coming home, there will be no throw to the plate. It's an RBI double for Springer, and it's 5-4 Nationals.
Once again, the Astros were knocking on the door courtesy of George Springer, so he hits a home run in the seventh and actually sets a World Series record. Fifth straight game in the Fall Classic in which he hits a home run. But Houston leaves the bases loaded in the seventh. Then in the eighth inning, Springer drives a ball off the wall. It turns into a double. It just misses going out to tie the game. But as you hear with Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on the Astros radio network, game of inches, it leaves them short a run. And the Nationals bullpen does the rest. They're able to shut the door despite not being perfect. So four innings pitched, including Sean Doolittle at the end. The pen allows two runs on five hits and a couple of walks. A bend but don't break mentality, if you will. Ultimately, the Astros lose by a run. They leave 11 men on base and go 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position.
Anytime, you know, you're up against really good starting pitcher, you want to take advantage of every single opportunity. You know that's going to be a tall task, but I like the at-bats, and I even liked our at-bats with runners in scoring position. We had a little bit of bad luck. We did chase a little bit.
So AJ Hinch talking about the opportunities that the Astros missed. They were able to make it respectable, scrape together some Springer hits. I do like the hashtag Springer Dinger. It's kind of fun. But all of the credit goes to not just Davey Martinez, but the pitchers he put out there. It was pretty obvious once we got through four innings that Scherzer wasn't going to be able to go deep in this game because of the number of pitches the Astros were forcing him to throw. And the Nats bullpen, while it's pitched better in the postseason, statistically has been among the worst in baseball in 2019. And yet, here they are, part of this incredible surge, now winners of 17 in their last 19 games, and the first of their first appearance in the World Series. Really cool stuff. Though, again, a girl would really love a game that was somehow close to 3 hours. I fear that my hopes may be dashed over the next week. It requires such an investment. I know it's the World Series, and it's October drama, and if you're familiar with it, you love it, and it's worth tuning in. But also, it's a long investment on a weeknight. I will say that. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, while you're talking World Series, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up next, we will talk a little bit about the NFL's trade deadline. A couple of wide receivers on the move. And also, A.J. Hinch responding to what has turned into a full-blown story about an inappropriate comment, Saturday night following the ALCS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Play fake to Brian Hill. Matt wants to take another shot down the middle of the field. Sanu, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Muhammad Sanu. And he was wide open and nobody within 5 yards of him as he scored at the far end.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Patriots have been trying to trade for Muhammad Sanu for months. And they finally got it done. They attempted to trade for the 30-year-old Falcons receiver back before the draft and couldn't agree to terms. Maybe an un-Patriots-like move to give up a second-round pick for Sanu. However, with the transition in their receiving core from the Gronk retirement to trying to find viable tight ends that fit the system to injuries with Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon and others to attempting to work in younger, less experienced receivers into the rotation with Tom Brady, you can tell the Patriots are still searching. And so now they're going to see if Sanu fits. And it's pretty amazing that even at 7-0, Bill Belichick never rests, ever. It's one of the reasons why he is the best of the best. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Wes Durham with the call on the Falcons radio network, but Sanu now a member of the Patriots and really excited about it. He was on social media proclaiming his excitement. You can look that up. In his eighth season with the Falcons, 33 catches, 313 yards, and a touchdown. I remember interviewing Muhammad Sanu back toward the beginning of his career. And not only was he very businesslike in his approach to football, but he also talked about soaking up whatever he could from the great personnel around him, from Matt Ryan, from Julio Jones. He was also really excited about the birth of his son, which is cool. So Muhammad Sanu off to New England. And Bill Belichick, while cryptic always, at least admits to the trade.
We're working through that, but he's, you know, we'll see. We'll put him in and you know, see how it goes. But, you know, he's a talented player. He's got a lot of experience. He's, you know, done different things, so we'll see how it all fits for us.
Again, he's been high on Sanu for quite a while and started trying to acquire him going back before the draft in April. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So before the World Series, before the NBA season tipped off, we had a couple of moves at the trade deadline. Sanu heading from Atlanta to New England, one of them. Right on the heels of that, the Broncos trade veteran receiver Emmanuel Sanders to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Sanders, of course, had the torn Achilles last season, but has come back with great speed and athleticism, good explosiveness. However, according to John Elway, Sanders requested that the team trade him. According to Elway, and I'll read the quote, "When we look at it, Emmanuel had issues and we had issues. And that's why it was a good time to go different directions. For Emmanuel to go a different direction and for us to go a different direction." And so Sanders has the opportunity now to join a winning club. And in exchange, the Broncos acquire some draft picks. Third and fourth round draft picks from the Niners. And then going the other way with Sanders as a fifth round. And those all coming in next year's draft. So another stunner that actually got a huge reaction. So I don't know that the Sanders trade was a big surprise. Sanu was because of where he went, though the Patriots had been high on him for a while. But the Lions trading away their starting safety Quandre Diggs to the Seahawks, that one got a huge reaction from in the Lions locker room as well as on social media. He was a Pro Bowl alternate last year, had three interceptions, and he missed a little bit of time because of a hamstring injury, but was dealing with it and had been on the field for a good portion of the Lions snaps. Still early in the season. I don't know if him not living up to last year's expectations or last year's bar is the reason why, or if this is the Lions deciding they live to fight another day. Also, they have a good number of guys who can play the safety position. But it is one of those moves that reminds me of what happened last year, where they sent Golden Tate to Philadelphia, right? So different position, different side of the ball. But that was a move that also got quite a reaction inside the Lions locker room. So if you are interested, you certainly can see some of the reaction from Lions players on social media. Darius Slay, of course, being part of that backfield and responding. And then Kerryon Johnson, who actually had knee surgery, their lead running back, and hit the IR. And yet, he's also tweeting about Diggs. So not a popular move. Don't know whether or not this makes Matt Patricia unpopular with his players, but definitely was a surprise to his teammates that Diggs was on the move to Seattle. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, if you got some questions for Ask Amy Anything, that's cool. We still have a couple of polls that are live for you. The majority of you right now say the start of the NBA season invokes a meh from you. That poll is still up, and as well our Touchdown Tuesday poll. We'll give you those candidates again as we move forward, but you still have a few hours to vote for the TD of the week. Ahead, even as the Nationals take game one from the Astros at Minute Maid Park, a lot of the talk around Houston is about assistant GM Brandon Taubman and his offensive comments to a group of female reporters Saturday in the midst of their celebration following the Jose Altuve walk-off. And AJ Hinch had strong comments about it before the World Series began. And the NBA, it's back. It's underway. Lots of bling on Tuesday night as they tipped off their 2019-20 season. 855-212-4227. Whew, it's the hump show. I'm feeling it. We're here to keep you company, though. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Two to Sewell. Swung on, hit in the inner left field. Brantley going back against the Crawford, boxes off the wall, bounces by him, back toward the infield. Robles has scored. Rounding third is Rendon. He comes in to score on a booming double off the left field wall by Juan Soto.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Juan Soto with three hits, including a home run that tied the game off Gerrit Cole, and a stolen base in his World Series debut. I could go on and on about he's the youngest to do this, the youngest to do that. Just, you know, he's young. I saw our friend Sean Pendergast from Houston, who was tweeting during the game, make a comment quoting a video of Juan Soto, including the fact that he's 20 years old. And Sean's comment was, "You don't say." Yeah, it's definitely getting a lot of play on TV and radio that he's 20, but it's also incredible. I mean, yeah, he's 20 years old, and he's already performing on the biggest stage in his sport, and has done so for the second half of the season, to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Charlie Slows with the call on the Nationals Radio Network. We had talked about nerves and jitters, and as much as Ryan Zimmerman said, hey, we're going to treat this like it's any other game, that may be something he can do as a veteran who's already survived so much disappointment, though I'm not sure how he does that. But Juan Soto admitted that he was extremely nervous when he faced that first at-bat in the World Series.
After the first at-bat, I just said, that's another baseball game. That's another baseball game. It's the same thing in the season, the playoff, it's the same thing. Just go and enjoy it.
So he admits, I was a little bit nervous. My knees were a little bit shaky when I faced that first at bat. But after that, okay, whew, it's just another baseball game. And that part, I understand. Muscle memory sets in. And that focus, that training, it all comes into play. But initially, with all those orange-clad crazy fans at Minute Maid Park, Gerrit Cole on the mound, your team has got a deficit before you ever get to the point where you can make an impact. And so I think that nerves are pretty normal. I'd be worried if they didn't have some kind of nerves or jitters or adrenaline rush. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Now, before the game started, AJ Hinch was asked for his reaction to what has become a story that a lot of people are talking about. And it goes back to Saturday. I spoke about it on our show last night in reaction to the Sports Illustrated column that had been published. I did tweet about it during the day on Tuesday as I was seeing some of the details emerge, some of the corroborated reports. So it's not just he said, she said. There are multiple people who are corroborating the story that's in Sports Illustrated. And so if you want to check out my tweets, you can do that. A-Law Radio. But Assistant General Manager Brandon Taubman was in the midst of the big celebration on Saturday night following the Jose Altuve walk-off. And he directed some offensive, unprofessional comments at a group of female reporters, one of whom was wearing a domestic violence bracelet, but also one of whom he recognized because she'd been outspoken when the Astros decided to trade for Roberto Osuna toward the end of his 75-game suspension under baseball's domestic violence policy. So he knew who she was, and he targeted her specifically. And again, this is not just her word against his, though he did come out with an apology on Tuesday. A little bit slow on the uptake, a little bit late after the Astros tried to deny the whole thing ever happened. He did come out and apologize because he had no other option. And I appreciate AJ Hinch, who didn't know that it happened, he said, until he read about it in Sports Illustrated like everybody else.
You know, obviously my reaction, I'm very disappointed for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's unfortunate, it's uncalled for. It you know, for me as a leader in this organization, down here in the clubhouse, on the field, I take everything that happens in the clubhouse to heart. And, you know, no one, it doesn't matter if it's a player, a coach, a manager, any of you members of the media, should ever feel like when you come into our clubhouse that you're going to be uncomfortable or disrespected. So I wasn't there. I don't know to the extent of what happened. I read like everybody. I haven't talked to every single person in the organization, as you would expect. I've been knee deep in the Washington Nationals, but I think we all need to be better across the board in the industry. I understand why it's a question today, and I appreciate it. But I was disappointed.
Manager AJ Hinch on a conference call before the World Series started. Not upset about the question, not getting defensive, but saying very plainly, no one should come into our clubhouse and feel uncomfortable or disrespected. Man, I appreciate that. I know a lot has changed since the last time I was a regular in a baseball clubhouse or in a NFL, NBA locker room. It's been a while since I was doing beat reporting like that, working for local stations. However, there were certainly times when all I wanted was to get in and get out because the atmosphere was uncomfortable, because it's not where I'm naturally comfortable anyway, but that's where you have to go to do your job. And those reporters were doing their jobs. They weren't hanging out in there so they could celebrate the walk-off win by Jose Altuve. They were working. They were trying to get post-game quotes. They were telling the story of this incredible moment for the Astros and this assistant GM who's feeling heady and invincible, has his guard down at a party, lets loose with no regard for the consequences. And again, his outburst was directed specifically at a woman who'd been critical of the Osuna trade. And so Taubman's outburst was offensive. It was disrespectful. It was unprofessional. And the Astros have said he doesn't speak for them. He's indicated this is not who he is and it doesn't represent his true feelings, but that's crap. When your guard is down, when you're feeling invincible, when you open your mouth and let fly, what comes out of your mouth absolutely represents what's in your heart. When there is no V-chip and you don't stop to monitor yourself or your words, what comes out is what's inside. So I don't want to hear a word about how this is not truly who I am. That's bull. We got to see a little bit of exactly who you are and exactly how you feel. So if the Astros want to prove that he doesn't speak for them, they'll fire him, they'll punish him, they'll suspend him, something along those lines. I mean, it's unfortunate that at the height of a celebration with the Astros together, just in the wake of this incredible win, Taubman embarrasses himself and the franchise. You can agree or disagree with the Astros' choice to sign Osuna or to trade for Osuna. And they certainly have absorbed the backlash. But for him to start this, to target these women when none of them were paying any attention to him, according to them, they had no idea why he started yelling. And Osuna wasn't anywhere around. This was all of his own accord. So we'll see if the Astros take any further action. For now, it's been first a statement denying the whole thing and then an apology from Taubman. But I do more than anything appreciate Hinch's comments because they're authentic and they're genuine. And you can tell that he's embarrassed that this is what he's talking about before the World Series begins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Todd is listening in Cleveland. Todd, welcome to After Hours.
Yo, Amy, I've listened to the comment. I didn't watch the whole interview that we just played. But I will say this. In corporate America, particularly in the entertainment industry, where imagery is a huge thing, we spent... The country spends too much time confusing someone being uncomfortable with that also being someone is being disrespected. You got a healthy appreciation for a lot of things, and none of those things reach the level of respect. You just have a healthy appreciation for them. And somebody being uncomfortable may just be a qualifier for what they need to do in order to complete their job. And those two things right there are things that people should be more strict in their language when they're referencing them. And not
Todd, can I cut in? I'm trying really. I don't understand your point. Can you do you have a point specifically? I mean, are you on one side or the other? Because I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
Yes, I was listening to what the general manager was saying. It was
right,
like nobody
I got
should
that part.
Feel uncomfortable.
Well, that was the manager. That was AJ Hinch.
Right, he was saying nobody should feel uncomfortable coming into our locker room. And that may be an uncomfortable environment for a lot of
people. That's not what he was saying. He was talking about how by going into their clubhouse, they shouldn't be made to feel uncomfortable by comments or actions of anyone who works for the team. I mean, I just said it's not a comfortable environment for me to be in a men's clubhouse or locker room. I was always eyes up and get the heck out as soon as I could. But this is different. They were there to cover a celebration, to cover a story, a huge story, and someone else came after them to make them feel uncomfortable. That's what he's talking about. That no one who works for the team should contribute to this being, an uncomfortable environment or an environment in which they are disrespected.
But he didn't use all the extra words that you used. You're adding on to what he's saying.
He was talking about those women and other reporters being disrespected by Brandon Taubman. That was the entire question. That's what he's responding to.
Well, the point that I'm making is there's often a confusion between someone being left to feel uncomfortable and that being the same thing.
So is that what you're saying about this? After reading the story and knowing the details, you're saying that they were just uncomfortable because they were uncomfortable, not because this guy came after them?
What I'm saying is that in general, there's often a confusion of what it means to be uncomfortable and equating it with what it means to be disrespected.
Well, in this particular case, if you would like me to clarify, Taubman was extremely disrespectful and unprofessional to members of the media who were doing their jobs.
He was out of line.
Yes.
He was out of line. But to say in general that no one should feel uncomfortable coming into the locker room, It gives empowerment to people that tend to be very pretentious.
In this particular case, that does not apply, Todd. We're not talking about in general. We're talking about a specific situation that wouldn't have been uncomfortable for these women had this assistant GM not targeted them.
I am speaking in general, and
but we're not talking about in general.
No,
we're
talking.
We're talking. But why, though? What I'm not sure what point you're trying to make.
Because I see it happen a lot. I think this could have been handled much better than what it was.
Yeah, that GM could have kept his mouth shut and not gone after some female reporters.
Female reporters spoke up right there at the time.
How do you know they didn't? How do you know they didn't?
I don't see anything that shows that they did.
What?
How do you know that they did?
Because they started talking about it right away.
That has not been reported from what I've caught on to.
Oh, okay.
But you're missing what I'm saying, Amy. I don't think that people should be disrespected either.
Well, good, because that's what they were in the locker room. I have to let you go, Todd. There's the music. We're at the top of the hour. We're not talking about in general. We're talking about a specific situation where Brandon Taubman created this bed for himself, and now he's going to have to deal with the consequences. He went after them. They were doing their jobs. Whether they are male or female, AJ Hinch's point still stands. They should be allowed to do their jobs without being disrespected. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.